Now, when you look at a brother or sister that you know, and you see sin, and maybe you see them in a season of awful sin, and you start thinking in your heart about how sinful they are, I want you to remember this. As a believer, as a sanctified child of God, the sins of that brother or that sister's heart, the sins of their thoughts, of their sinful flesh, is far worse than what you see. And the same's true of you. And worse than even the sins of your thoughts is the sin you are in your flesh. Now, if you think it turns you and makes you abhor the sin you see, just imagine how God would look at you and all your sinful, very best righteousnesses, and think how he would regard you if you didn't have a high priest. Do you know this about yourself? I remember, I think it went something like this, but somebody told Brother Greg Elmquist that, they said, "You just don't know how bad my sin is." And he said, his reply was, "Well, it's a whole lot worse than what you think it is." That's true, brethren. Now, the garments we're looking at today picture Christ. They picture Christ. And this ceremony that we're going to talk about pictured Christ. You know, whenever Christ cried out and said, "It's finished," the veil in the temple rent from top to bottom, saying that all the old covenant law was fulfilled. All the types and shadows were fulfilled. But you know something else that happened too, is on one occasion, the high priest got so angry at Christ, he rent his garments. And in both of those, God is saying the old covenant law is finished. There's been a change now of the law. We're under the law of faith and love, the law of grace and liberty, and there's been a change of the priesthood. It's no longer Aaron, it's this high priest who came of the tribe of Judah. But no priest came from the tribe of Judah. They came from the tribe of Levi. But Christ is from the tribe of Judah. The priesthood's been changed. We only have one high priest, that's Christ. And the whole law's been changed. We're not worshiping under that old letter anymore. We worship God in spirit now through faith and love. Now, why is it important that I have a high priest? Because I have to have somebody represent me to God even now that I'm a believer, that even now that he sanctified me. I need somebody to represent me to God to intercede for me because I'm just that sinful. And so is all his believing people. I need him to represent me. If you read on down the page, we'll see this another time, but Aaron's job as the high priest was, he was bearing the iniquity of their holy things. That meant all the things that the children of Israel did in offering sacrifice, just the way God said to offer them. In doing everything God told him to do, Aaron was bearing the iniquity, their iniquity, in those things. He was bearing their iniquity as they worshiped and served God. You see, even as believers, we're so sinful, we have to have Christ, our high priest, to intercede for us so that our iniquity doesn't separate us from God. He makes our service and our worship perfect before God. That's what I'm getting at. He makes everything His children do in worshiping Him and serving Him to be perfect before God. We have to have this high priest. And what we see here now, we're going to look at the ephod and the breastplate. And what we see here is the ephod and the breastplate together teach us that Christ intercedes for His people in the perfection of beauty and glory. In three ways. In the perfection of strength, in the perfection of faithfulness and wisdom, and in the perfection of love. Perfection of strength, perfection of wisdom, and faithfulness. I put those together, you'll see why. And the perfection of love. This is how He's our high priest. This is our security as believers. This is how come you can pray. And we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, because it's Christ who presents that prayer to God in the perfection of beauty and glory. That's what I've titled this. The perfection of, the perfection of beauty and glory, I think, of our high priest or something. I can't remember. All right, first of all, let's look at these three things: strength, wisdom, and love. First, Christ intercedes for us in His perfect strength. Now look at verse 11. He says, with the work of an engraver in stone, like the engravings of a signet, shalt thou engrave the two stones with the names of the children of Israel. They took these two onyx stones and engraved the names of the children of Israel on them. Thou shalt make them to be set in these settings of gold, and thou shalt put the two stones upon the shoulders of the ephod, and they were for stones of memorial unto the children of Israel, and Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord. So here's Aaron between the Lord and between the children of Israel, and both the children of Israel and the Lord are reminded of those children of Israel by those stones on his shoulders. He'll bear their names before the Lord upon his two shoulders for a memorial. So you got two memorials here. Children of Israel are remembering, and the Lord's remembering. And they're both looking at the high priest and those names on his shoulder. Christ bears the names of each elect child of God on his shoulder. Just like Aaron the high priest bore the names of each of the children of Israel, each of the children of Jacob. They represented the 12 tribes. Those names of those 12 children represented every single person in those tribes. And by look at that, we can say too that those 12 names represent every single elect child of God. Every elect child of God. There was nobody else written on his shoulder. There was lots of nations that existed at this time, but only the names of those 12 sons, the 12 tribes of Israel, were represented on his shoulder. They were for a memorial before the Lord and before his people. Now, if you want to turn there, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, you're familiar with this, and I can just read it to you. Isaiah 9 and verse 6 tells us, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Now here's what I want you to see. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. The government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The government shall be upon his shoulder. Now, brethren, the government of three things is on his shoulder. the government of fulfilling the righteousness of the law. The government of fulfilling the righteousness of the law is on his shoulder. The government of the world for his people is on his shoulder. And the government of converting and delivering his people to the Father. This is the government on his shoulder. One, the government of fulfilling the righteousness of the law is on Christ's shoulder. The sinless substitute. Our Lord Jesus proved himself to be the sinless one. The only man that had no sin besides Adam before the fall. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the sinless one. And this sinless substitute willingly gave himself to the Father. And he bore the enormous load of sin of all God's elect upon his shoulder. That's what you see taking place on the cross. He bore that enormous load of sin of all his elect upon his shoulder. And having been made sin for us, and you think about the weight of that sin. He said as he abhorred it. He abhorred the sin. He despised the shame of it. And there he is bearing this massive load. It's on his shoulder. The whole responsibility of taking care of those sins and answering to God's holy law for those sins are on his shoulder. He's representing every elect child of God. Their names are engraven in stone on his shoulder, and that's who he's representing. All their sin was put on him. And having been made sin for us, Christ bore on his shoulders the full weight of God's wrath, which was our cursed death. The cursed death we would have died is the wrath of God for our sins. Christ took that load of sin, and so God justly poured out that enormous weight of wrath and justice on Christ. He bore it. The God-man submitted so that death had dominion over him for a time. Death had dominion over him. Sin and death. He was buried in a grave. The God-man was buried in a grave and came out of that grave to show his people we shall never have to bear the weight of sin and death again. Not before God. Not before God. He put away the sin of his people by the sacrifice of himself. Now hear what I said. He didn't make it possible for him to be put away. He put away our sin by the sacrifice of himself. Hebrews says that's why he came, to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He, when he had by himself purged our sins, put them away, he sat down at God's right hand. He had the specific names of those children on his shoulder. He bore the specific sin of those children on his shoulder. He bore the specific particular death of those children on his shoulder. And so everything he did was for that people. He honored God the Father to the highest. He declared the righteousness of God. He declared God is a just God and a Savior. He declared he's just and the justifier. This is what Christ declared. And therefore now, as our high priest, at God's right hand, his intercession, the government of interceding for his people in God's presence, it all rests on his omnipotent shoulders. Now you know the shoulder represents strength. Well, this is perfect strength we're talking about. He perfectly bore our sin, perfectly bore our curse, perfectly put the sin and the curse away. Now he's perfectly interceding for his people at God's right hand. And the strength of that intercession is this. He justified each sinner for whom he died. That's the strength of his intercession. How come it is that we can know that God hears him and God always grants his petition for his people? How can we be guaranteed that and be assured of that? Because the strength of his shoulder is this. He totally, perfectly honored God and justified his people. That's strong. That's strong. God won't do anything contrary to his justice. That's strong. He will not pour out wrath a second time. The strength of that intercession, brethren, it's not our doing. That's what we saw this morning. It's not our doing that's the strength of God hearing us. It's the strength of Christ doing and dying. It's the strength of what he accomplished by his doing and dying. God is honored and the law is fulfilled by Christ our high priest. Do you think God will hear him? You think God will hear him when he intercedes for his people? Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather, that's risen again, who's even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. He's there. He's at God's right hand making intercession for us. And nobody's going to condemn because it's Christ that died. It's that perfect God-man who died as our substitute. And God's pleased with him. Wherefore, he's able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Who does he make intercession for? For them that come to him. That's the only ones he makes intercession for, them that come to him. Have you come to this Redeemer I'm talking about? Have you come to this high priest? He only intercedes for those that have come to him. But he ever lives to intercede for them. Believer, when any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sin. He himself is the strength of advocacy with the Father. So the first thing about the government that was on his shoulder was interceding for us, or was putting away our sin so that he could intercede for us in perfection at God's right hand. And then two, the government of the world in general is on his shoulder, and particularly his church and kingdom. He's the king of nations, and he's the king of saints. What does that mean? It means he rules in the hearts of everybody. He rules everything. God said, I've set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. The Father made his Son, Scripture says, Lord over all his house, ruler over all his substance. Our high priest is also a king. You couldn't even picture that under the old covenant. There was King David who pictured Christ. Then there was Aaron the high priest that pictured Christ. It's all in one for us. We have Christ Jesus who is our all-powerful sovereign king and our high priest. The God-man proclaims, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And the Scripture says, Psalm 77:19, speaks to him and says, thy way is in the sea, and thy ways in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. He's pictured in Revelation as got one foot in the sea and one foot on the land, and he's ruling the whole world. Not just the world, the whole universe. That's the power of God. And he rules the world for the good of his people and for his glory. That's how he rules the world. So that's the government that's on his shoulder. There's not a king that's lifted up to a throne, but Christ, the King of Kings, put him there. The king doesn't make a decision. He doesn't do anything but that the King of Kings turned his heart like you turn the rivers of water. And so Christ is also ruling in his house, in his church, in his kingdom with the same precise sovereign hand. Everything's under his control. Everything. Whatever's come to pass in your life, He's controlling it. And it was supposed to come to pass, just like it did. Just like it did. You might not be able to see any good in it come to pass just like He would have it. You may be guilty of sin for the way it came to pass. You're not excused for that, but it came to pass just the way He'd have it come to pass. And then three, the government of our conversion is on His shoulder. He knows each child He redeemed by name, just like Aaron had the specific names of his brethren on his shoulder. Christ knows the name of every single child He redeemed. And there's the name on his shoulder, the name of each lost sheep. Go with me to Luke 15. He knows them. And because He's sovereign, and because the government of the world's on His shoulder, He can send this gospel to every single one of them. He can rule everything to send this gospel to every single one of them. Jeff, can he do that? And He can put us under His gospel in ways that we would never imagine it would happen. Look here. Luke 15:4. It says, "What man of you having a," this is Christ speaking, "what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulder, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost." And He says there, "I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 who think they're just and need no repentance." He's finding the lost sheep. He's bringing each one of His own to repentance. And He takes us up and puts us on His shoulder and He carries us. And now when He's found us and He's taken us up, He doesn't then depend on us for our shoulder to have the strength to carry us home. No, He puts us on His shoulder and He carries us home. He carries us all the way home until we're with Him in glory. And that's why Scripture says He does not lose one of His people. He has the key and the power to open the heart of His child. And He has the key and the power to shut the heart of the reprobate. Listen to this. Isaiah 22:22, "The key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder." He's the key. He's the key. He's the one that opens it all up to us. It's on his shoulder. The responsibility's his to open up. Look, "So he shall open, and none shall shut. And he shall shut, and none shall open." It's his power. It's on his shoulder. Now, this idol God that men are talking about, this Jesus that wants to save you if you'll just let Him, and this God that He wants to do this and that, but if you just let Him do it. Listen, let me tell you something about that God. Isaiah 46:7 says, "They bear Him upon the shoulder and they carry Him." That's not this God. That's not this God. He said, "Even to your old age I am He, and even to your gray hairs will I carry you. I have made and I'll bear you. Even I'll carry and I will deliver you." That's the true God. That's the true Savior, the true Shepherd. You think on this, brethren. The Spirit of God teaches us this. It says, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. That's what I've been telling you about right now. He's King of things in the heavens and the earth and under the earth. He's King over all. And at His name, every knee's going to bow and every tongue shall confess Jesus Christ is Lord and give all the glory to God the Father. Christ rules everything in heaven. He rules everything in earth. He rules the devil. He rules wicked men. He rules His saints. He brings the gospel to His children. And through this gospel, He causes His name to be declared in the heart of His children. The new heart He's given. So that in this life, before we ever get to glory, every one of his children will have already bowed the knee and confessed him to be Lord of lords and King of kings to the glory of God the Father. We've already done it. And we'll do it in that day. But we're going to do it for eternity. But we've already done it in this life because it's all on his shoulder to bring us to do so. Thank God our Lord has laid help on one that is mighty. That's what the scripture said. Now, secondly, that's the beauty of his strength, perfect strength, perfect government and strength is on his shoulder. The government of his redemption and his intercession, the government of ruling this world, and the government of converting and bringing his children home. It's all on his shoulder. If any of that was on mine and your shoulder, we'd perish. We elect one man to president, and he's got the government of this country on his shoulder. Not all men in the world, not all countries in the world, just one man. And you'll see him go into office and his hair look one way, and you'll see him come out of office, and if he's got any, it's white usually. This king right here's got the government of everybody and everything on his shoulder. And the world to come, he's got more power than the... he's all-powerful. Now, secondly, Christ intercedes for us by the beauty and glory of his perfect faithfulness and perfect wisdom. Verse 8, the curious girdle of the ephod, there's his perfect faithfulness. This ephod went down and it covered the loins. It was a girdle that covered the loins. It says, and the curious girdle of the ephod, which is upon it, shall be of the same. It's gold, blue, purple, scarlet, fine twined linen. Then look down at verse 30. And thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim, the lights and perfections, representing Christ, the light and perfection of judgment. And they shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goes in before the Lord, and Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. Be turning to Isaiah chapter 11. This girdle around the loins, brethren, points us to Christ's faithfulness, his faithfulness to God and his faithfulness to his people as our great high priest. And the Urim and the Thummim, meaning lights and perfections, points to Christ's wisdom in bearing righteous judgment for his elect before the Lord continually. You see, whatever Christ prays for, whatever he intercedes for, his Father gives him. And whatever he intercedes for is perfectly just and righteous. It's the best thing for his people. Watch this, Isaiah 11, verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, out of his family, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. This is Christ. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. That's the Urim and the Thummim. That's what the Urim and the Thummim represents right there. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And it shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth, the wicked men, with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins. There's the girdle. Righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. That's what the girdle and that Urim and Thummim represent. When it says Christ, we see Christ there in the Urim and the Thummim, the lights and perfections. It means he's the perfection of wisdom and understanding and counsel and might and knowledge and the fear of the Lord. He is. What does Scripture say? In him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Everything is in him. Every bit of it. And like he did when he walked this, now when he walked this earth, he was a servant. He was serving. And he trusted the Father to rule everything. But let me tell you something. From his throne in glory right now, he's ruling all things in this earth for his people. For those he redeemed. For those names that are on his shoulder. That he has the responsibility to bring to God. He's ruling everything for us. And look, he does not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove at the hearing of his ears. You know, we see our brother or our sister do something and we think it's sinful and we don't like it. You don't know what's going on in the heart. You have no idea what's going on in his heart. None whatsoever. Lord does. He's judging with righteousness. He's judging the poor with righteousness, it says. And he's reproving with equity for the meek of the earth. That's his people. Whatever's happening in your life and mine, it's right and it's equitable. With righteousness, he's judging what we need, when we need it, and how long. That's what he's doing. He reproves us in our hearts with equity. And as for our enemies, with that same righteousness, he smites them with the rod of his mouth and just with the ease that you blow out a candle. Just like that, he slays the wicked. We see an enemy before us that are huge and mighty and so much out of our control, and we don't know how we're going to get out of it or what we can do about it. That's all he's got to do. They're gone. Like you'd blow dust off of your desk. Does he do this for us continually? Is he going to do this for us continually, or is he going to forget about us? Righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. When he's moved, that means he's controlled, completely controlled by his righteousness and by his faithfulness. That's what the loins, the girdle being on the loins represent. Your loin, you're moved by your loins, aren't you? You'd be out here in the yard doing something and your loins could tell you all of a sudden, you better get in the house. You better get to the toilet. You're controlled by your loin. Well, his loins, he is all powerful and his loins are righteousness and faithfulness. That's what turns him. That's what moves him. That's what makes him do what he does. In this earth, in his intercession with the Father on our behalf, he only does that which is right for us. He only does what is perfectly faithful for us. As our text says, he bears the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. Continually. Now, I want you to think of this. Think of this infinite wisdom that he has to possess. He comprehends and accomplishes and uses all things for his own glory and for the salvation of our souls. Think of that. He can comprehend everything that's happening. He can accomplish everything for his glory and the salvation of his soul, our soul. In Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That's why God makes him wisdom unto us. You know, when a person's hearing the gospel, before God does this work in their heart, you'll tell them something, and it could be just as clear as a veil before their eyes, saying, you know, God chose his people in Christ before the foundation of the world, not based on any good or evil in us. You can show them in the scriptures. And they're going to butt. When are they going to stop butting? When God makes them see that Christ is wisdom. When he does that, then you and I become ignorant. And we bow to be taught by him. Perfect, righteous, perfectly faithful in all of his judgments and everything he does. Now, lastly, go back to Exodus 28. Christ intercedes for his people by the beauty and glory of his perfect love. His perfect love. Verse 29, "And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart, when he goes in into the holy place for a memorial before the Lord continually." On his heart, that's where love is. That's where love is. And he's got the names of his children on his heart who he everlastingly loves. That means the love that Christ has for his people has no beginning and no ending. He doesn't love today and cease loving tomorrow. He doesn't love today by his grace and tomorrow stop loving because of your works. No, those he loves, he everlastingly loves. As the high priest had those precious jewels, those were precious jewels, and they had the names of each son of Israel, and they were on his heart. Christ has the names of each precious elect child of God on his heart continually as he goes into the holy place in the presence of God and intercedes for us. You know, these jewels, his jewels, is what he calls his people, and they're precious in his sight. Scripture says, he says, "They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels." He says, "You shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine." And you see all these different kinds of precious stones? There's a whole lot of different kinds of believers. There's a whole lot of different kinds of believers. But we're all under the same judgment and rule of the same one. And he has the same love on his heart for each one of us. For each one of us. When you spend a lot of money on a jewel, that is a precious jewel to you. When you spend a lot of money, more you spend on that jewel, the more precious it is to you. Each of his elect are precious jewels to him because he bought us with his precious blood. That is as costly as it gets. That's as costly as it gets. That means there's a perfection of love for each individual elect child of God. A perfection of love for us. This breastplate was bound to Aaron's heart. It was bound to his heart. It was bound to that ephod. So all that faithfulness and judgment that's on his shoulder that we saw, that intercession that's on his shoulder, that government that's on his shoulder, these elect that are on his heart are bound to that same faithfulness and righteousness. And these elect are bound on his heart. They won't ever not be bound on his heart. That was the whole purpose of the rings and the twisted gold and the blue ribbon. Everything was so that this breastplate would never be separated from this ephod. It would always be on the priest's heart. And that's where his people are continually. You ever think sometimes, the way things happen in life, do you ever think sometimes, Christ has forgotten me? I thought that sometime. Thought it some lately. Christ has forgotten me. We're enclosed next to his heart in gold settings, just like those stones were each in a gold setting that held it there. It wouldn't let it go. We're enclosed near his heart in a gold setting, bound to his heart. Our names are written in stone, just like these names were engraven on stone, right there on his heart. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He shows us he won't ever leave us and he won't ever forsake us. He won't do it. Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yes, they may forget, yet I will not forget thee, he said, because I have engraven thee. Those names were engraven I've engraven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. I'm continually hedging you about. I'm continually protecting you. The only way you can go this way is I open up a wall and let you go that way. I'll close that wall off and I'll open up one this way and you can go that way. But you're always protected. You're always at the center of his thought. Always. Scripture says, having loved his own, he loved them to the end. They're on his heart. On his heart. In love, he says this. This is what he told us. In love, I will pray the Father for you. Remember that when he told his disciples? I'll pray the Father for you and he'll send forth the Holy Spirit. And when he's come, he'll convince you of sin because I go to my Father. Of righteousness, what was it, of sin because you see me no more, of righteousness because I go to my Father, and of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. And that's what he continues to do. When we have the Spirit in abundance and we can see Christ plainly and we're turned from our flesh, he prayed the Father for us. He interceded for us as our high priest. His love's particular for his elect alone. He said in John 17, he's praying to the Father. And he says, I pray for them that you've given me out of the world. I don't pray for the world. I pray for them that you gave me out of the world, Father. Thine they were, and you gave them to me. And now they're mine. I don't pray for this world of ungodly rebels. I pray for those you've given me, that I redeem, that I'll call out, that I have called out. And he said, and I pray for them that shall be called out, that shall believe on me, and they'll be called out through the word of these I've already called. It's a particular love for his people. So that means, brethren, he's going to add to us exactly who should be added to us at the very time they should be added to us. He said, I'm going to pray for them and intercede for them who shall believe on me through their word. He's going to call out his people. We're saved by the intercession of our great high priest. That's how we're saved. It's a perfect perfection of beauty and a perfection of glory. And that's this interceding high priest we have. He's the perfection of beauty and the perfection of glory. That's what these garments represented. He said they'll wear these garments for beauty and for glory. And that's what Christ is. The perfection of beauty and glory with the government on his shoulder, with the strength on his shoulder for our perfect intercession, our perfect governance, our perfect protection. It's all on his shoulder. That means he has the responsibility to bring us to the Father. The perfection of glory and beauty in his perfect wisdom and faithfulness. He's perfect wisdom. And he's perfectly faithful. You know, if you had one or the other, that wouldn't be good. Think about it. He could have perfect wisdom, but not be faithful to us. Or he could have perfect faithfulness, but not have wisdom to know how to execute that faithfulness. He's the perfection of both. That ephod and that breastplate, don't ever, that Urim and Thummim, along with that ephod on the girdle, never separated. His wisdom and his faithfulness never separated. And he's the perfection of beauty and glory for those he's everlastingly loved. The names of those children of Israel were always on the high priest's heart. And ours names are always on his heart. Now, he said all that was for a memorial to the children of Israel. Just like God in heaven is looking at him right now and he's being reminded of his children and everything Christ is for his children. We sat here this morning, hearing of him, so we look at him and are reminded. Our names are on his shoulder. Our names are on his heart. All this perfection of glory and beauty, he is for us. So now then, let's come here to his table and remember him. All right, Brother Scott, you and Brother Greg, if y'all would.